trying to make things more fun and more interactive.
Glad from a while away, baby.
Did I express myself? Did I let my light shine through?
You can do anything you put your mind to. Never give up on your dreams.
I was living for the moment.
Every day, Saturday, and every day I feel good.
And I'ma win, and I'ma be happy, and I'ma be blessed.
Happy. I'm happy every day. Love yourself, you know what I'm saying?
This is Young and Happy.
Okay, Young and Happy. It's Memorial Day weekend. Pew, pew. Hey,
hey, hey. Pew, pew. You want to hear my sound for Memorial Day weekend?
What does it sound like?
With guitar, though.
Whoa, that's good as fuck.
Yeah.
Have you always had that, or is that new?
I do that every year.
Since birth?
Yeah, so ever since I was born, I just do that for Memorial Day weekend.
Holy fuck.
Yeah. But your
parents,
guitar.
Your parents must have been real confused the first time.
Well, they were just like, yo, Caleb, can you stop using our guitar? We're trying to get ready for church.
Was there a church guitar? Damn, those ones wail.
Yeah. So
church guitars scream.
But shout out to Memorial Day weekend. Speaking of Memorial Day and American heroes and politics.
Poof.
Today we have a special Memorial Day weekend Happy Burst episode that is going to feature Doug Stamper from House of Cards. House of Cards is my favorite show of all time, favorite TV show of all time. But before we get into that...
Oh, wait, tell me for a second. Does Doug Stamper, is that his real name?
Michael Kelly.
But
I like to think of him only as Doug Stamper.
He has an illustrious career outside of this. I'm a Philly guy. He was in Invincible. Dawn of the... You never saw Invincible?
No.
Come on, bro.
Is Mark Wahlberg's in it, right?
Show a lick of respect for Vince Papale.
Who's that?
You fuck. You son of a fuck.
I'm not kidding. Like, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, he was a bartender who tried out for an NFL team, and he made the team. And he was just a Philly guy that tried out for the Eagles. Went to St. Joe's University. Have some fucking respect for a Philadelphia legend, Vince Papale. All right?
And this has been
Angelo Palantino, ES, BN.
Okay, so but before we do that, so no one sponsored the show today, so I want to do a free sponsorship, free brand, like a branded episode.
So we just pick a brand.
We just pick a brand that we like.
I like that. That's like a good way to kind of attach ourselves to any brand out there in the world that might want to advertise us. So we could just pick.
Okay, so I'm picking Dollar Shave Club.
Wow, that's crazy. I love their brand, too.
And if you go to dollarshaveclub.com/yah, Y-A-H, you can get free razors and stuff.
And let it be known that this is just us selecting this brand. They didn't pay us to do this.
No, I selected them because they have paid us in the past. So I was like, yo, y'all are sick.
Yo, you guys
just paying
are
us
sick.
To have a podcast?
I shaved my chest today, Dollar Shave Club.
That's a feminine move.
All right, okay. I mean, my biceps are shaved.
Yeah? Your biceps are getting a little hairy?
Yep. That's how unfeminine I am.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, you can't like that. I had to shave my tries. But I didn't have to try to shave because Dollar Shave Club is a fantastic product that you can get for a fantastic price. DollarShaveClub/yah.
Yeah. And if you're a bald guy that wants to shave your head.
Do it. Do it.
Do it.
Do it. If you're an old guy with...
No one likes a 5 o'clock shadow on the top of your head.
If you have ear hair as an old man, nose hair perhaps, Dollar Shave Club up in that ass.
Yo, why do old people have ear hair in their ears?
It's just because that's how they... You can tell how old they are. You get a hearing...
It's like tree rings.
Exactly. You get one every year that you're alive past 50. So like an 80-year-old guy would have 30.
30.
Yep. 30. Exactly. Yeah. Memorial Day math, you... Bitches. I mean, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I meant it in a really nice, inclusive way. So we have our guy, Doug Stamper, Michael Kelly, is going to be on this show, and he is on House of Cards. So we thought that we would do some House of Cards segments to start off. So the first segment is called Underwood. And in the news, it seems that termites have done the most damage when they are considered to be pretty termites.
Pretty as in like physically?
Good-looking termites do the most damage to your house.
So, what's the quote about the book and the cover? Don't judge a book by a cover.
Yeah.
But termites.
They'll dig their car into the side of their keys into the side of your pretty little souped-up four-wheel drive. I dug my key into You know, they'll do a lot of damage.
Do you know what he was saying when he was talking about that?
Yeah.
That before he teached Carrie Underwood song.
That was like a beautiful twist of another Underwood in there.
Yo, I didn't even realize that's Underwood on Underwood.
Did you really not put that together?
I don't know. But can we splice in that song?
We'll make it as if like
you
did.
Yo, make it seem
that.
Like yeah. I came up with that. So that was Underwood. That was some real deep Underwood. That was termite news. Next in the news is Robin Wright. Who is Robin Wright this week?
You seen Ocean's 11?
Oh, yeah. They were Robin correctly in that movie.
Italian Job.
They did Rob real well in that movie.
Robin Wright,
who plays... Claire Underwood.
Claire, my favorite. Also, speaking of some House of Cards, Remy. Remy in the news.
Oh, Remy.
Remy Ma is in the news. Remy Ma does not want Nas to date Nicki Minaj.
Oh, yeah. You don't want your ex dating someone that's super successful? I'm shocked. Oh, wait. Is that her? That's her ex, right?
Color me surprised. I don't know.
That sounds... They must have fucked. Why else would she comment on that?
Also, that was, I want to give a source on that. Celebrity Insider.
Oh, wow. So we got an insider source for the celebs.
And then I guess in our last segment today,
yeah.
Before we have him on, we're having Doug Stamper on. So you want to do a Stamper segment?
Okay, Stamper segment. Odell Beckham got a tramp stamp this week.
So the guy was whoever gave him that lower back tattoo, he's a stamper.
He's a stamper, yeah. He's probably given a stamp to a Doug before, so he's probably been a Doug Stamper himself.
Well, what do you say?
What do you think about the lower back tattoo? Do you think that that's a cool move or a not cool move? Take your time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool move. Yes, all right.
Definitely put a cool sound right there. Maybe what sound would work right there?
What's a cool sound?
What's a cool sound?
What, like a bassoon? That's a cool sound.
Yo, that's sick. Like, I use the bassoon sometimes on other holidays.
Which holidays?
Just like mostly religious.
Yeah, just like Jesus walking around.
Like religious holidays.
Anything that just is celebrating Jesus.
Well, it doesn't have to be Jesus. That's only one religion. They'll be small-minded.
Okay, so maybe a Hanukkah.
Yeah, I'm a big bassoonist on Hanukkah. I don't want this show to be so bad that people don't make it to the interview, but I just got to say that I'm enjoying my time here with you guys.
Week on Young and Happy. What a crazy week on Young and Happy. We started off the week with Tank Sinatra, huge super-duper star.
Yo, shout out to Tank Sinatra. He's been plugging Young and Happy hard. He's been plugging away on the Instagram.
Because he feels the energy, fam. And then we had Hannibal Buress on Thursday. Crazy.
Yeah, that's my guy.
And now we're about to have young Michael Kelly.
Young Mr. Michael Kelly.
Doug Stamper on. What a week for Young and Happy. We're really doing it. Tell someone to tell someone about Young and Happy because we're blowing it up with guests in here.
Yeah, that is actually a good note. If you like Young and Happy, tell somebody that you think might like it to download it.
Don't keep your light under a bushel. Let your light shine on other people.
Although,
for once,
I gotta say it is kind of sick to be like listening to something that no one else listened to.
Like, yo, what are you listening to?
It's like, sorry, man, you don't know about this. Anyways,
So yeah, let's get into this.
I
just
wanted to do sounds for a second.
Do a couple sounds before the interview. Hey, if you have a friend that wants to do sounds this weekend, let them do sounds. Like, do sounds.
What do you think the best sound platform is if you're just trying to get some sounds off?
An empty bathroom.
Yeah?
Especially if it's marble. This shit will echo and ping. There will be a sweet spot in the bathroom about three quarters up from the bottom where if you just go... It'll like echo beautifully. You'll be cocooned in your own sound.
Sick.
It's really nice. This interview with Michael Kelly is a must listen. He walked away from the interview very impressed with us. He was like, "Wow, I really like your vibe. How long have you guys been doing this?" Real things that he said.
Yeah, that's a fact. He also told us a really cool story about how, after we rapped, unfortunately, he talked about how he acted like Doug Stamper for an entire day in Washington, D.C., and he was with Frank Underwood, who was acting like the president the entire day, and they walked around.
Kevin Costner.
Spacey.
Yeah, I was wrong about that.
But they were in character for an entire day in Washington, D.C., just like pretending to be presidents and whatever Doug's role is. What's his chief of staff?
Big bad boy.
Anyways, so yeah, he told that story off, and he also told us we were great off, and then
this is so what make up your own mind.
This is what he said on.
Yeah, make up your own mind whether you think it's awesome.
We would like to welcome to Barstool Radio one of okay, my favorite TV show of all time.
Wow,
House of Cards is my favorite TV show of all
time.
That's
high praise.
Ever.
That's some praise, man. I'll
take ever.
That is
and,
high praise.
And playing Doug Stamper, which is another great character. We'd like to welcome to the show Michael Kelly.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. Or thank you for joining us, I guess.
Yeah.
That's a proper way of saying that.
It's exciting. It's House of Cards season. It's getting to be binge season.
Yo, how do you consume House of Cards?
I do two at a time. My wife and I watch it. We have two little kids, so to go more than two is kind of crazy because you end up like, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning. You're getting up with the kids 6:30.
Well, there was a guy outside who was like, yeah, I got like two episodes as a teaser. And I said, like, you couldn't pay me to receive two episodes early. I wouldn't know what to do.
I love it.
So it's like torture.
What do you do? How many do you watch at a time?
The whole season.
Do you really? You'll rip through the whole thing?
If I have to go to sleep, I go to sleep, but I won't do anything. Once it comes out, I will not do anything until, besides like eat and sleep, until it's over.
I love it, dude. I love
so far.
It.
I mean, maybe if this season sucks, I won't watch it. But
that's
it
you created.
You'll be doing it again. I love this season, man. It's crazy again. Always like right. The show is just crazy.
Now is Bo Willman, right? Was a showrunner. Is he still doing it?
No,
he's not.
He finished at the end of season four. Did not come back for season five.
So how was that? Was it with a new is showrunner? Was that his title?
Yeah, he was a showrunner, head writer, showrunner.
Yeah,
right. So they. Netflix and MRC was really smart in hiring from within and bringing Frank and Melissa up. They were two of our senior writers, brought them up to be the showrunner.
Okay.
And then they kept the entire writer's room. So Bo laid this incredible foundation for us, and Bo Willman is honestly one of the greatest people, one of the smartest people I've ever met, one of the most artistic people I've ever met, and a good friend. So for me, that was weird, like not having that friendship anymore, being on set and, you know, three nights a week we were at the James Joyce pub and hanging out and eating dinner and then he would go right back to work and keep writing. But Frank and Melissa was the smartest choice. Like, you kept that same voice of the show. So artistically, I don't think that most people will even notice a
really?
Difference. And the early things that I've read that some people have said about the show already is that, you know, it's not
pretty much the same.
Yeah.
One thing I always noticed too was like in the intro, like that it's a legendary intro, like it just shivers for me. But there's always a different director. What's that about?
Well, the show, you know, like most television shows, you have different directors, right?
Didn't know that to do
each episode.
Okay.
David Fincher started it. He directed the first two. And then the person who's actually directed the most now, it was James Foley, and now is Robin Wright. She's directed more episodes than anyone.
Which is Claire, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So she's directed more.
You just call her Claire.
Yeah, just Claire. and hopefully I'll get a shot this year to direct. Last year, with it being I'd thrown my hat in the ring last year, and they said, you know, it's kind of a reboot without Bo. Like, we got to see.
Did you just tease season five?
What? And that all?
Yeah.
What do you mean? No.
You said maybe
to,
next year.
Oh, no. This was last year that I asked.
Oh.
Last season.
Somebody's got the inside scoop.
He's very woke.
That would be good for us. If you want to tease season, this is the show to do it on.
I have thrown my hat in the ring to direct next season if there is a next season.
Got you.
What are the politics about that? Like, how do you like throw your hat in the ring? Like, how do you ascend to the top of a list of people who are in line to direct an episode like that?
Well, I've paid very close attention. I spent a lot of time on set. I've shown real interest in doing it, and you know, ideally I will shadow a director doing two, because they do two at a time, right? One director, we shoot two episodes at a time. It's called block shooting, and it'll take one calendar month for us to make two episodes, the same director the whole time. So I would follow that person at the beginning of the season, hopefully, learn more. Like I said, I've been really trying to learn as much as I can about it, and then really follow them and really get a real insight on how to do it, and then later in the season, direct one episode. Because there's always an odd one, right? There's 13, we shoot two at a time.
Right.
Seven or nine is usually one director who comes in, and that's where they usually give someone a shot. So hopefully I'll get my shot.
Give this guy his shot.
Give a shot.
Let this guy get his shot one time. So like that really shows that you kind of take a more active role than just getting a job and acting. You know, like you want to engage yourself a little bit more in your craft. Like, what drives you to want to do that?
I think it was this show, really. I mean, I've always been one to give 100% in doing any job that I do. But for the desire to want to direct, it was just, I love being on set. If I'm in Baltimore, and this is no offense to Baltimore because I love it there, but if I'm there, I would rather be at work than not. Like, I love being there. I love I've learning about the whole process. And to have absolute control of an episode, I think it'd be really cool. You know, from costume to casting to everything, it's yours. That's your baby.
What would the storyline be?
Well, that you don't get to choose.
That's a writer's job.
The writers are like, here's your story.
Everyone's going to be wearing like black, and Doug's going to walk in with like some like white tux on.
The Austin Powers aesthetic. Like, when did we go to England?
You said you're going to have a sword?
I would have a sword. I don't know why, but that's what Doug's going to do in my episode.
Yo, so, okay. I remember whenever the last season came out, people were saying, this is like getting a little bit too crazy. Like, I can't watch it because it's just not realistic. And then fast forward, and like Donald Trump's the president. I don't know what people's political leanings are. This, it doesn't really matter. But you can agree, I think everyone would agree, that it's gotten kind of wild and different than it used to be. The political landscape is a little different. Do you think, I personally think that House of Cards had a psychological effect on America to the point to get us to where we are now? I think enough people watched it where it opened up possibilities that were not possible before people watched that show.
I hope not. And if we're in any way, shape, or form responsible for what's happening now,
there's blood on your hands.
I don't know that I could sleep at night if I had to take responsibility for what's happening.
How close do you think they parallel each other? Real life, not necessarily even like Donald Trump or anything that's going on, but like just politics in general in America. How many creative liberties is House of Cards taking? I know that it's pretty wild, but also we don't have no idea what's going on.
Right. Like, I'll be honest. I spend a lot of time on the Hill. I lobby for seniors. I meet with a lot of congressmen and women and senators, and I spend a good solid three trips there a year spending all day on the Hill for sometimes 1 and 2 days, just meeting with people talking about seniors. So I can say that I don't think they're killing anyone, but I've met a lot of people who are like, dude, I know a guy just like you. Like young staffers who are like, dude, I know a guy just like Doug. He hasn't killed anybody, but I know a guy just like him.
Right.
So I do believe that that this Machiavellian thing does exist. I mean, you see people, you know, this is why we have this problem right now with the Republicans just going along with the party, right? Because if you abandon your party and take a stance on something that you believe from your heart, your odds of getting reelected are very small. So that in and of itself, to me, is there's something fundamentally wrong with that. Like, you should be able to vote for your constituents and for what you believe, honestly.
Right. Of course.
But if you do, there's a very good chance that the party will alienate you, thus the money alienate you, and the odds of being reelected are so slim. And it's until we fix that in our political system, we're just going to keep making the same mistakes over and over again.
Yeah. So you said people have dropped hints like there might be a real life Doug Stamper.
Yeah.
Who is it?
Oh God, I don't know. Yeah, you do. I'll tell you.
Okay, if anyone knows, it's you, because they've definitely been like, I know who you are.
That's true. People have asked me, you know, who's Donald Trump's Stamper, and I'm like, well, obviously he doesn't have one, because if he had one,
I'm about to say that guy might not.
A lot of stuff wouldn't be happening right now. That's happening.
Has this show made you like more politically engaged, or has it like kind of disenfranchised you being so close to it and kind of being behind closed doors and being behind the scenes?
I'd say I'm far more engaged now than I was. I mean, I studied political science in college, right, when I just happened to fall into acting. it just happened on a fluke. But so I've always been interested.
Uh-huh.
I'd say around the Clintons, I became even more interested. And then obviously Bush, you know, taking a stand there. And then with President Obama, I was just so happy. It was just, in my opinion, a great time in our country. And I was became very involved. But with the show, you can't help it. I mean, you know, I would read something, and even with the political science background that I had, I'd be like, wait, what is that? I'm right. Like Googling every episode. Like I'm always finding out new things. And then with this current, you know, the primaries and then the general this year, I just became immersed in it. I couldn't help but just, like a lot of our country, just fall into, I have to know what's happening.
Right.
And I think for me, like, to have a voice now and tell kids the most important thing, you know, the youth of our country right now, these kids, if they just educate themselves on the candidates, and really just, it doesn't take a lot of time, just watch a little bit, watch Fox and CNN. Don't just watch one. Don't just become so narrow-minded that that's the choice I'm going to make. It's like, really find out what you care about. Get involved, man. Get involved in politics. I want the kids of this country can completely change the political. If you're unhappy right now, they're the ones that can do it. And everyone in D.C. knows it right now, that the youth of this country is who's going to change what happens this next in the midterms and then the next election.
Season 5.
Perfect.
No, I heard that you even got to meet Obama before. And do you think that there's any chance that Trump is a House of Cards guy? And if he wants to meet you, are you going to grant him a meeting?
No, I can't say that I have any desire to. You know, look, I think they're... No, I don't think I
you hear
I
that, Trump? He doesn't want any parts of you. Even if you wanted it, he's not meeting with you.
Is there any political commentary on, like, current situations in this new season? Like, are they commenting on, like, you know, Trump's the president now, this has happened?
No, we never do, because we are the administration. So even in a broad stroke way, even in a very generalized way, we're not a tear from the headline show. We don't. This is all made up world, right? And we're not influenced by what's happening or anything else. But that being said, inevitably every year, you know, this stuff is written a year before anyone ever sees it.
Right.
And the broad strokes of the show are done even before that. So every year though, the show comes out and it's like, oh my God, that's happening, or that happened, or that is happening. It's like, that's crazy, like, to me, that it always happens like that. But we would never comment on what's happening. You know, I mean, it's just, I think you run a real risk of your show just kind of, because we don't, the show doesn't take a political one-sided stance on anything, really. You know,
right.
It's not like a Democratic show or a Republican show. We as individual actors can say what we want, but the show itself.
You're just like a big, like, murder advocate.
Yeah, exactly. I just kill people.
I know we're kind of running short on time, but I'm going to do a quick pivot. I was watching an interview that you did with Sway, and he kept on talking about something called Leroy Justice.
Yeah.
What is Leroy Justice?
Leroy Justice was my dear friend Stoney Kantor's stepfather's name. It was his name. He was one of the greatest dudes I ever met, and he was a really great guitar player. And my first band was the Homegrown Lopes. The second band I was in was called Leroy Justice. And we named the band after him because he was such a cool cat.
Those are some cool names. The Homegrown Lopes and Leroy Justice. Yeah, like, that's good, those right? Are some down-ass band names. Those are some incredible names.
What were you doing on Sway? You were cool. Dropping freestyles on Sway?
No, it was Sway and I go way back from I can't remember if it was Homegrown Lopes or Leroy Justice, but the singer of it was Leroy, because the singer of that band worked at MTV when Sway worked at MTV. So I met Sway, man, forever ago. And we saw each other. We're just like, oh my God. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's not weird for you, I know, but it's so weird for me to even, like, think about you having a life outside of Doug Stamper.
Yeah.
Like, that you exist in real life. Like, me talking to you is, like, it's kind of bizarre.
Then I ride a skateboard and I have kids. And
you ride a skateboard?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's super weird.
Yeah, right?
That's incredible.
And you tried to...
And I never stop smiling. Like, Doug never smiles. And I can't... I'm a lucky dude, man.
Wait, do you think that Doug Stamper is a character, like, you know, they talk about, like, Star Wars people... They never escape the fact, like, yo, that's... You might be in other films or movies, but, like,
people know you and you're like, that's a person from Star Wars. Like, I can't watch, dead serious, can't watch anything with Kevin Spacey in it that's not House of Cards. Because he's Frank Underwood. Like, yeah.
That's point blank period, to you?
That's, he's Frank Underwood. And it weirds me out. I don't want, I don't even want those thoughts in my mind. It's like, just, he's Frank Underwood. I won't watch it. Do you think that, I know that it's probably not good to say you've created that type of character, but kind of.
Yeah, no. I look, I'm happy that, people identify me. You know, it's one of the pieces of work that I'm the most proud of. But, you know, before that, it was CJ. No one ever saw me as anyone other than CJ and Dawn of the Dead. And so I think that, and the fact that I've been able to do a cool project every off season, you know, whether it was Everest or Taboo or whatever.
Right.
Like, always trying to keep my feet in something else at the same time. But dude, I'll take it all day, man. I'm proud of, the character that I created.
You should
and,
be.
And it's cool when you're walking down the street and, you know, some dude's like,
Doug Stamper, yo!
Sit out of the bar and people just slide a pint over to you. Those guys down there want to buy you beer.
Yeah, but you don't have a hard time drinking.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, May 30th.
May 30th.
Yeah, House of Cards, get ready to binge.
Yeah.
Any last thoughts on, binging, the problem with binging in America?
Yeah, you just want to do a quick binge
PSA on binging.
Be careful. No,
be careful.
I love it, man. I love that, people can consume it like you, and then other people consume it like I do, and some people, you know, space it out one episode every week or two, you know, and I don't know how they do that.
That's insane. I don't think they do.
That's insane.
I don't think
those people are lying to you.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, House of Cards coming next week. I have sick days for me coming next week from work.
Mr. Michael Kelly, thank you so much,
pleasure,
sir.
Pleasure, guys. Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks. And that was our interview with Michael Kelly. God damn, was that good. You knew a lot about, you really brought the thunder today. You brought the Thunderwood today because you had a lot of knowledge about this show, and I was impressed how you flexed.
You're impressed with my ability to watch Netflix.
Yo, you watched the hell out of that show.
You know who
binge that show.
You know who did the hell out of something this week?
Who is that?
Producer Tom.
Yo.
Thanks,
Producer
guys.
Tom, can
Thank you
put in a applause sound effect for yourself?
Okay, yeah.
Thunder.
We missed Producer Ben. I even told Roan, like, I never thought I would miss Producer Ben this much as I did, but, like, there's something about that guy. He's becoming one of my best friends. So I did miss him this week, but taking his place while he was on Grit Week was Producer Tom. Producer Tom, our show is produced a little bit differently than everybody else. I thought he did a really good job. I'm not just blowing smoke. I think he did a good job.
Thank
I think
you. Appreciate it.
It should be a habit of this program to take note and to recognize good work.
On House of Cards, they occasionally have different directors, and it spices up the show. I think having a different producer on, especially in such a week like this, really spiced up our show.
Nice. So,
it's been an honor.
Shout out to you. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Be safe. Take care of yourself and each other. This has been Jerry Springer.
Wait, that sound might have been bad.